Isn't it wonderful to have family that God puts together? And he really does know who it needs to be. Even more than the family that we're born into. For so many people, those that God puts together in his body are often much closer than our own flesh and blood. Because, yes, absolutely, Sister Sherry, we share so much. And it's not that we have all of that much time together, but it's a link in the Holy Ghost that puts us together, and it, like that old song, bind us together, and that's what we need God to do, is to bring about the unity that is required to be an efficient part of his body. And the closer we get to the end, I don't know how much closer we can get, but the closer we get to the end, the more important our unity will be. We all have to be together. Our lesson today is titled, Offering Our Best. That could go a lot of places. And what is our best? I think that's a little different for every person. There are some basic requirements for all of us to be a part of this body. But after that, our best is our best. And only God really knows what that is. But the focus thought, it doesn't call that in our new lesson book, but I still really like the focus. The focus today is, I will offer God my best. So that's where we're going to end up. And the truth, I kind of like this addition, the truth about God is that God expects us to give our best to him. He doesn't want second, third, fourth, the dregs that are left at the end. He wants our very, very best. Our lesson text and study for the lesson, if you looked at your booklet, was Genesis chapter 4, 1 through 15, which is, wow, what a story that is, right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then that famous internal struggle that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 7. What do you do with that? What do you do when what you know you're supposed to do, you can't manage to do it? And you don't want to do that anymore, and that's what you do. Because we all have that internal battle. Depending on what culture you're hearing and thinking about, the story is different, whether it's a wolves or warriors or whoever it is. We have this fight in us. And that fight will keep us in this or take us out of it. Who wins in that fight? So let's pray that God helps us to look at this in the context of we are giving our very best. Lord Jesus, help us as we look at your word today. Help us to know and understand as we are hearing and listening to what you have to say to us today, that we know at the end of this, it's our decision. What is our best? Help us to know what our best is. Our best of everything needs to be a part of you and needs to be given to you in sacrifice, and we give you glory and praise and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So there is a fight in us. We may not be cognizant of that fight when we're young, but we still, before we come into relationship with God, but maybe we are, because there is always a fight within us, a fight to do what we know we're supposed to do, and a fight that says, oh no, I just want to do what I want to do. Before we ever even talk about or deal with a relationship with God, there is still a fight in us, because do I do that? No, I really want to do this. And how do we make this what we need to do? How do you turn the I need to's into I want to's? I'm still trying to figure that out. It's not always easy, because the I have to's always come up. And if you have a job like mine, the I have to's get changed on you all the time, depending on the dynamics of what's going on for the day. Something just pops up and says, oh, well, okay, everything I wanted to do is out the door today. Because this is more important. And so life does that to us, and it's whether it's in work or whether it's in our everyday, get up in the morning, this is what we're going to do today life, or it's also so very, very important in this relationship with the Lord. And in this fight of good and evil, we are not alone. God gives us direction. He gives us instruction. We have this whole book to help us with instruction. We just have to spend some time with it. We have to listen to it. We have to read it. And I don't know which one is best for you. I tend to do pretty good. And actually, I think the best way for me to spend time with God's word is that I really probably should just read it out loud. Because then I'm totally engaged. How many of you have read in here in your, oh, hopefully it's not your daily reading, but anytime you read in there and your mind is, you're reading the words, but your mind is way, way, way somewhere else, doing something else. Or if you listen to the scripture audibly, same thing can happen. Brain is just way off doing whatever it's going to do. Because you have to get totally engaged. So I don't know, maybe I should start reading it more out loud to myself. But God gives us direction. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, the word, this book, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. He gives direction. His spirit that we receive when we receive the Holy Ghost gives us direction moment by moment if we're sensitive. We don't have to take a step without his direction ever if we are paying attention to him. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We kind of like to we don't like those first three too well. But for instruction in righteousness. This book gives us instruction in righteousness if we will spend time in it. Galatians 3, 24 and 25 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. You don't have to stay under the law when the law brings you to Christ. Because when Christ is in you, you get that moment by moment direction that we just mentioned. Moment by moment, the Holy Ghost will give us the direction that we need. And we don't have to keep referring back to a book of law that seems like it's lording over us. When you were young and trying to learn that driver's manual, and you knew if you didn't learn that, you were never going to be able to get legally behind the wheel of a car. And it just kind of pressure. That's what the law was. And they just couldn't do it. They didn't make it. Nobody made it. When it was the pressure of the law. But with Christ, we are led moment by moment where we need to go in this fight between good and evil. And then this is what we get in Christ, and I already referred to it here, but John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus promising this, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. But listen to this, teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. The caveat right there is that you can't have anything brought to your remembrance that you haven't heard, that you haven't received from him, so that relationship with God and the growth that we get when we're striving in this lesson to give him our very best. We can't give him what we have not received. And we have to spend time with him in order to receive it. Not only do we have direction from God, but we have a choice. From the very beginning, mankind, when God, I always picture it, God knelt in the dirt and formed man, breathed into him the breath of life. Mankind was not forced to love and serve God. That's what that tree was all about. Choice. Which am I going to choose? What am I going to choose daily? Am I going to choose just what I want to do? Or am I going to choose what I need to do? Our choices make a difference. Joshua, that famous verse in Joshua 24, that in the middle of it, where Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, or whose land, or in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Making that choice. What are we going to choose to do? Are we going to choose what we just want to do, unless you've been able to translate what you need to do into what you want to do, are we going to do what we need to do, or are we just going to do what we want to do? The choice is ours. And then, wow, that verse in James 4 and 17. Do you remember that one? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the choice. To him it is sin. Lord, help us. You see, I stated just a bit ago that we all have some real basics that we need to obey that bring us into relationship. We all have to find a place of repentance. You can't get anywhere with God without repentance. And repentance isn't just the one and only time. Yeah, it is the first thing. Maybe not before belief, but there's that first action that we have to take is repentance. But I'll tell you what, it's a daily occurrence often in my life. Has to happen all the time. So, but all of us have to do that. And all of us need to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ to take away the sins that were present in our lives. And if you do that even when you're young, there's plenty of sin because we have it inherently within us. This offering has to have this repentance as a part of it. And then we all need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, that comforter that John 14 talked about, is what will lead us and guide us, but it's going to be what takes us out of here too. That Holy Ghost is our, is it too cheesy to say it's our ticket to heaven? No, it's the only way we're going to get there. The old song that you got to get on the train that's on the road going to heaven, well, you have to have a ticket to get on there. And the Holy Ghost is a ticket. You're not going to get there without the Holy Ghost, but you also will not get there without baptism in the name of Jesus Christ or repentance. You have to do it. And then we all have to do what God instructs us to do. Some of it is kind of given for most all of us. But we all have to do what God gives us direction for to make our lives separate or holy. Now that is where our very best becomes a little bit divergent from one another. There's going to be some similarities in being separate from this world that we live in for all of us. But there are also differences in what is required of us by God with the direction of the Holy Ghost to be separate, to offer our very best to Him. So in this, we have direction, we have a choice, and then we have to figure out how we're going to deal with the struggle within us. Romans chapter 7, I will go through it really quickly. In the King James, and if anybody has a booklet with them, it's in the message there in about three separate blips. Romans 7:14 through 20. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. So we have this spiritual man and this carnal man. But I am carnal, sold under sin. I am a slave to sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You ever felt like that? What am I going to do? For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So all of the back and forth, ins and outs, and tongue twisting that goes on in this series of verses here is our daily struggle. It is what we deal with every day. That choice that we talked about that we had is, I'll tell you right now, sometimes that choice is a moment-by-moment choice for me. What am I going to choose to do right now in this very moment? Is it the choice to spiritual, or is it the choice to the flesh that I live with every day? How do we deal with that? Does somebody have it in the message? I didn't copy that part. Okay. It is, there should be a summary section of 14 through 20. It is in the book. I don't remember what page it's on. Yeah, there's in the message. Yeah, it's a section. Yeah, just go ahead and read what would be the summary of 7:14-20.
I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience?
Yes, I am full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different.
Now, I think that hit home a bit more than the ups and downs and ins and outs, the tongue twisting of what Paul wrote. It describes this fight within us. That no matter how hard we work to do what we want to do the right thing, in the moment, it's too easy for us to do the wrong thing. And as it said in the message, you just can't help yourself. That's what it feels like, is you just can't help yourself. But God still wants our very best. He requires our very best. So looking at the context since our lesson series this quarter is starting in the book of Genesis, and we've had some awesome looking at how things were in the beginning and the creation and that and the importance of salvation last week. And in the context of this, there's going to be a struggle. Do you know who we're going to talk about? Genesis chapter 4, we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. What a sad, sad situation that was. Cain and Abel. Cain was born, and he was a tiller of the ground. And then Abel was born, and he took care of sheep. The struggle comes when the young men go, and there's really no instruction at this point. Not so much instruction in Scripture. The law doesn't exist right then. If God gave instruction as to what was needed for sacrifice, it isn't written here at this time, and we know that Moses wrote this, and so maybe he was just didn't think it was important to put it there, because he was already living under the law and the sacrifices that were talked about there. But so there's not really any instruction given here as to what was to be offered. The only thing that you can find that is pointing toward instruction for how the sacrifice was to be accepted was you have to go back to the original sin when Adam and Eve were hiding and they covered themselves with what they thought was good enough. What they could come up with. But God had to slay some animals because there were some skins that were needed to cover. Now, there's all kinds of spiritual applications there. And they're all good messages, and I'm just going to touch them briefly. We cannot cover ourselves with what we think is good enough. That's our flesh. God knows what it takes to cover us. And we're not talking about these. We've got to cover up the flesh or deal with the flesh, really. But in the Old Testament, it was just covering it. We weren't going to be able to deal with us, this flesh, until we get a little further in the book. So we sort of have an indication that in a sacrifice, there needed to be the shedding of blood. And there's a huge, beautiful message in that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, so important for us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can participate in the shedding of your blood through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice. And so they go to offer their sacrifices, and Cain gathers up some of what he's grown. And Barry's brother keeps sheep. In the process of time, it came that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. So it really doesn't indicate that what quality it was that he brought. It just was whatever he found. Whereas Abel, when he brought of the flock, he brought the firstlings and the fat thereof. There could be other versions that will define that a little better, but that's just all that they did. And then it says that God respected Abel's offering, but did not respect Cain's. I have a really hard time with understanding, and there's men and women here that are much smarter than I am and probably know a whole lot more about this than I do. So I don't want to step anywhere I shouldn't step. But because there's not real instruction here, and I do know that under the law, I've read the offerings that were given under the law, that there was offerings that were not the shedding of blood. And they were required. So in that context, was what Cain offered totally wrong? I don't know. Pastor, I'm sorry, but I don't know that. I don't know if it was totally wrong. Amy and I talked about this the other day, and I asked her, I said, what do you think the difference was? And in my mind, I kind of go down this a little bit too. Did it have more to do, and I'm just proposing this question from me, did it have more to do with the attitude behind what was gathered and offered than what was actually taken and offered? Now, I know you have to ignore the shedding of blood brings remission of sin to go with the question I'm just asking right now. And I would never, never get rid of the importance of the shedding of blood. I just don't know. But what I do know is that when I'm offering my very best, this lesson, context, and where we're going with this lesson, that my attitude is oh so important to offering my very best. It could be my very best, but if I am grudgingly, or because somebody is twisting my arm, or I just feel like I just can't get that to that place because I want to be in that place, unless I do this, that's not the right attitude. And it doesn't matter what I'm bringing, the best or not the best in that sacrifice. If it isn't done with the right attitude, it doesn't mean anything. And we know that in this struggle, that Abel is killed. And Cain is, he's sorry he got caught. He's not really sorry that his brother is dead. Absolutely. He is sorry for what he's losing. Because he says to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. (laughs) Well, your brother doesn't have any choices anymore. And you're still living. Yes, you're going to have to work harder. And then God has mercy on him and marks him. Because Cain says, anybody that looks at me is going to kill me. And God said, no, I won't let anybody do that. If that happens, they're going to get worse than you had. So basically, God still protects him. But he's protected to do the hard, terrible punishment the rest of his life. Wow. Wow. Over what could have been a bad attitude. The struggle within us. God expects us to give him our very best. We know that to give him our very best takes sacrifice. We look at sacrifice and just a skimming of sacrifice in Scripture. We know that the very beginning, there was a sacrifice to obtain the skins for the covering of Adam and Eve. And then when we really get into a description of sacrifice, we have walked into the law, and there are pages and pages and pages of description of the sacrifice that was required of the people of God in order to just cover over, push ahead until the next time, because they just weren't taken care of. But if you turn to, I don't have this in my notes, so I don't have it written out, and I will turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm sorry, let me find it here. Hear, O heavens, let's see, is this it? I'm looking for where God says he's sick of it. Okay. All right, verse 10, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law, O God, our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? What are you doing this for? Well, you told us to do it. Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. And it goes on and on and on. But the God who put all of that in place came to the point that he said, that's enough. I don't want any more of it. What caused that to happen? What do you think? They were going through the motions. Lip service. It had just become rote habit. They were complacent. They didn't mean anything to them anymore. They did it because they had always done it. I'm sorry? Yes, an obligation. It was an obligation. It was what they grew up doing. And it just happened. And it just on and on and on. It just happened. And God finally said, that's enough. I don't want any more of it. Did it end? No, it didn't end there. And there were more sacrifices, and there were more sacrifices. But it led to, in the book, it led to that perfect sacrifice. It led to the death, burial, and resurrection that we all need in our lives. Because as all of the Old Testament was just a covering, that offering was not the best. It was just what was needed to cover it over. But there came a time that a perfect, spotless lamb and precious blood was shed in sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for coming and giving us an opportunity to offer our very best. When we become a part of Him in obeying that salvation plan and making ourselves into a separate people, then God is able to apply that sacrifice into our lives moment by moment as it is needed, not waiting for the ritual. But just the same as Israel was stuck in a rut, they were fulfilling an obligation. They just did what they had always done. Have we done the same thing? I have sort of found myself in that boat sometimes. I'm not making a conscious choice. It's just what I do. And there have been times that my heart has just been half-heartedly in this, and there was no way that I was offering my very best because I was just doing what I did. I got up and got dressed the same way I got dressed every other day. From that time that it was oh so important because God asked it of me to do this, look like this, and act like that. God asked those things of me, and in the beginning, I wanted them so badly. I needed them so much. But then it was just rote. So when I read the lesson and before I read all the way through it, offering our best, just the title, and that focus and the way God, the God truth. The first scripture I read, which wasn't a part of the context, the first scripture that popped into my mind was Romans 12:1, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice. Offering our very best isn't good enough without us sacrificing. And then we have to keep this human self out of it. We have to be in it consciously all the time, making a conscious effort to offer him absolutely our very best of self, our very best of worship, our very best of whatever you want to put in there. Our very best. That's what he wants of us. Lord Jesus, thank you for looking at your word today. Thank you for the opportunity that each and every one of us has to participate and be a part of your body. And Lord, to sacrifice ourselves to you wholly, that we can be acceptable, Lord, and that it is our reasonable service. And we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're getting ready to go into